We're reading tonight in Revelation chapter 20, and we're reading in verse 11, please. The last book of the Bible, chapter 20 and verse 11. And I want to talk to you in the closing moments tonight on eternity's court, the court of eternity. You'll notice what John says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. He says, "And I saw." We're going through the book of the Revelation on Tuesday nights in Lurgan, and we've discovered that one of John's favorite expressions is this phrase, "And I saw." Look at verse 1. He says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." Verse 4. He says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." And now verse 11. And he says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is a second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And may God help us tonight as we consider from this solemn portion the court of eternity. An old war veteran lay dying. A gospel preacher came to see him, and he asked him the question, "John, are you afraid to die?" The man raised himself up in the bed and said indignantly, "Sir, I have faced death on many bloody battlefields, and I was never afraid. I have faced death since then, and I was not scared. I am no coward. Why have you come to insult me in my dying hour?" The preacher continued and he said, "But John, are you prepared for what comes after death? Are you ready for what comes after death?" The man sighed and he said, "Sir, that's what frightens me. I am fearful of that which comes after death." What about you, my friend, tonight? Are you fearful of that which comes after death? Because you face death without God. You face death without Christ. You face death without hope. So many people today are saying, "Well, what does come after death?" We live in an age when men and women and young folk like to pry into the future. A lot of money today is spent on fortune tellers and consulting the horoscopes and listening to quack prophets. And yet God claims to be the only one who can foretell the future. He says, "I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done." Tonight, I want us to travel down the corridor of time and into eternity. I want us to move from this earthly sphere to an eternal sphere. I want us to move from time into God's eternity. You see, we live in the day of God's grace. But my dear friends, that will eventually be replaced by the day of God's wrath. And the lost of all the ages, the unsaved of all the ages, will be summoned to this great white throne judgment, to face judgment at the hands of the Lord Jesus. The Christ they despised, the Christ they rejected, the Christ they spurned, the Christ they scorned. That's what John is speaking about in Revelation chapter 20. All that men have dreamed for, all that men have worked for, all that men have sold their souls for, will have turned to dust and rust and corruption. And the saved are with the Lord. And the unsaved are drawn from their graves to stand before the living God. And this is the court of eternity and the supreme court of all the universe is about to adjudicate in the affairs of men. You'll notice that as the scene opens, we are brought face to face with the setting described. The setting described, John says, and I saw a great white throne. You see, the scene is set in the great eternity. Will you notice here the awful place? He says, a great white throne. The throne speaks of the sovereignty of God. For this is the throne of the Almighty One. The white speaks of the purity of God. For this is the throne of the All-Holy One. It is the God before whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. The God who is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. Great speaks of the sovereignty of God. White speaks of the purity of God. Throne speaks of the majesty or the sovereignty of God. This is the throne of the all-glorious one. This is the great white throne judgment. Sometimes I hear Christians praying, grant me to stand before thy great white throne. Don't you ever pray that prayer for me. For I want to tell you, my dear friend, no child of God will ever stand before this great white throne. The Spirit of God is careful in Scripture to make a distinction between the Bema, the judgment seat, and the Thronos, the great white throne judgment. You see, only the unsaved will stand before this throne. The purpose, the result being to determine the degree of punishment in hell itself. This is the awful place. Did you notice the awesome person? For John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. You say, preacher, who is this person? So terrifying, so awesome in appearance that the very heaven and the earth flee away. Who is the judge who's sitting on the bench? None other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not sitting there as the Lamb of God. He's sitting there as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not sitting there as the Savior. He's sitting there as the judge. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the one who will sit on this throne. You say, Dennis, how can you be so sure? Because he himself said, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. I tell you, dear unsaved friend tonight, dear unconverted friend, this figure will awaken memories from the past. Some of you, when you stand before this great white throne judgment, will say, I used his name as a swear word. Others of you will say, I heard about him at my mother's knee, but I left him out of my life. I sold him for a godless marriage. I rejected Christ for a few short years of sin. I never gave him the time of day. I never seriously considered his claims. I yawned in the Savior's face and wrote him off as a myth. There he will sit, real, solid, living, all-knowing, terrible to behold with eyes that flash like a flame of fire and burn right into your conscience. What a scene. The awful place. The awesome person. Did you notice the awkward position? For John says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You say, what does that mean? It simply means that when you come before this throne, you will have nowhere to stand and nowhere to hide. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. You see, everything, dear friends, stable will be gone. Everything solid, everything familiar is gone. Every refuge, every stone, every hiding place is vanished. You remember that in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve tried to hide among the bushes of the garden. They tried to hide in the trees of the garden. But when you stand before this throne, there will be no trees to hide behind, no rock to hide your face behind. The old Negro spiritual song says, I went to the rock to hide my face. And the rock cried out, no hiding place. There won't even be a rock to hide it behind. No clouds, no sun, no moon, no stars. An appalling emptiness, a throne of dazzling white, a face, a figure, a fear. Just you and the judge. Just you and the judge. Face to face with God. It's going to happen one of these days. You're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. My friend, you have a date with deity. You may not believe in him. You may not accept Christ. You may not consider Christ. You may not appreciate Christ. But you have a date with deity. You're coming face to face with Jesus Christ. The setting described. But John talks here about the summons delivered. I don't know much about legal affairs, but I know this, that when you have a court and when there's going to be a judgment, the judge sends out the summons and he brings the defendant to the court. And that's the idea in verses 12 and 13. John says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Do you notice the people who are called the dead, small and great? Means the up and out, as well as the down and out. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter how much prestige you have. It doesn't matter how much culture you have. The dead, small and great, will stand before the Savior. I believe tonight we could put them into four categories. The out and out sinner will be there. Joseph Stalin, who ruled the Soviet Union for 25 terror-filled years, it's estimated that he killed 10 million peasants, an additional 10 million Ukrainians vanished, another 5 million died of famine, and he'll be there. And Hitler be there. The man that tried to obliterate the Jewish nation, the man that gassed 6 million of them, he'll be there. The man who hates God will be there. Who hates Christ will be there. Who hates the Bible will be there. That man or woman who lives for sin and for self and for Satan will be there. That man who boldly shakes his fist in the face of Almighty God and says, God, if there is a God, I'm not going to serve you. You're not big enough or strong enough to make me serve you. He'll be there. I tell you this, the self-righteous person will be there. You know, the lake of fire will be filled with self-righteous people. People who think that the gospel is for the thief and the murderer and the drunk and the prostitute and the sex pervert, but not for them. Do you know, my dear friend, what most people in Northern Ireland are? They're egomaniacs strutting their way to hell, thinking they're too good to be damned. Listen tonight. The worst form of badness is human goodness. If human goodness becomes a substitute for God's salvation, you remember what the Apostle Paul said, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. Tell you, dear friend, tonight, that means that if you can be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, that means that if you can be saved by throwing a fiver in the money box, that means that if you can be saved by your self-righteous deeds, that means that if you can be saved by your membership in the lodge, then Calvary was a blunder. Do you see who's going to be there? The out-and-out sinner will be there. The self-righteous person will be there. The procrastinator will be there. Those of you who intend to get saved someday, but the devil says, not tonight, not tonight. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. You know, my friends, there's a word that comes out of this book time and time again. Do you know what that word is? It's the word now. God says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I want to tell you tonight, the devil doesn't mind you believing my message. The devil doesn't mind you tonight believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The devil doesn't mind you believing tonight that He died for your sins at the place called Calvary, as long as you don't get saved. You say, preacher, what's the rush? I'll tell you what's the rush. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. This may be the last message that I'll preach, but I want to tell you, unconverted friend, it may be the last message that you will ever hear. The out-and-out sinner will be there. The self-righteous person will be there. The procrastinator will be there. Church members will be there. The dead, small and great. People who have got their names down on church rolls book, on church roll membership, but their names are not inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My friends, I'm convinced today that many are just going through the motions. I tell you this, they've been cradled in the gospel, and they've been surrounded by many things, but they've never been truly born again. I'll tell you, the devil will just be as happy to see you going to hell from the pulpit and from the choir box as from the gutter. It doesn't matter to the devil tonight as long as you're not saved. Are you saved? Are you right with God? You know, Judas will be there. He despised his privileges. What a guy was Judas. Imagine walking with the Lord Jesus for 3 years or so. And he listened to the Savior's messages. And he saw the Savior's miracles. And some of you tonight have been tremendously privileged. You've been brought up in the gospel. You've known from your earliest days something of the old story of Jesus and His love, but you're still not saved. Judas will be there. He despised his privileges. Pilate will be there. He demonstrated his fear. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. My friend, tonight, are you putting it off because you're afraid of what the boys will say? You're afraid of what the workmates will say in the office. You're afraid of what they'll say in the university. Pilate will be there. Felix will be there. He delayed his decision. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. John says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. My friend, listen, will you be there? Think of the people who are called, and then think of the places from which they're called. John says in Revelation chapter 20, he says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Think of it tonight. Forth from the tombs they will come, naked bodies reunited with naked souls. People face to face at last with the day of judgment. And I want to tell you, their philosophies will be gone. Their ideologies will be gone. Their bravado will be gone. People who said, death ends it all. People who said, there's no judgment. People who said, God's too loving to send anyone to the lake of fire and to hell itself. Out from the graves, they'll come to stand before the Lord Jesus. Did you notice the power by which they're called? And death and hell delivered up the dead. I want to tell you, dear friend, tonight God Almighty will not have to go through some court to get extradition papers on you, for when God summons you, you're coming. There's no hiding place from God. You know, if at death you were to go down deeper into the earth than any person has ever been, God would be there to bring you to judgment. If when you die, they take your body and they bring it up there to East Belfast, out there, the Castlereagh Road, out to Roselawn, and they cremate your body and they take your ashes and they scatter it to the four corners of the earth. My dear friends, God will be there to bring you to judgment. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. When God calls you, you're coming. You can't crawl up in the grave and pull the dirt over your face and hide from God. You're going to be judged. John's talking about the setting, described the summons delivered, and then he talks about the secrets disclosed. He says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." You say, what does that mean, Dennis? I'll tell you very simply. It means God's keeping a record. God is keeping a record. Everything you do, God records. Every thought you have, every word you utter. The Bible says God shall bring every work into judgment. The Bible says God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. That means that things that no one else knows, God has recorded. And those secrets that have been repressed in your mind will be expressed at the day of judgment. I heard about a fellow who went into a bank on one occasion. He wrote a note and passed it to the cashier. It said, "This is a robbery. Put all the money into the bag." She wrote back saying, "Straighten your tie, stupid. We're taking your picture." My friend, I want to tell you tonight that God's candid camera is rolling away. God's tape recorder is praying. God's stenographer is writing, and you're making books. One day it's all going to be revealed. You remember the warning of the Savior, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. Every idle word. You think about that tonight. Words of profanity. Words of blasphemy. Words of exaggeration. Words of gossip. You're going to give an account in the day of judgment, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. You say, Dennis, does that mean that a person can do enough good works to enter into heaven? You see, so many people think that when they stand before the Lord, that somehow the Lord will weigh up their good works on this side and their bad on the other side. And somehow if the good outweighs the bad, they'll go to heaven. And if the bad outweighs the good, they'll go to hell. But my dear friend, it's not like that at all. Your eternal destiny is determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. You receive Christ and you'll be saved for the great eternity. You reject Christ and you'll die and go to hell for all eternity. You say, what does it mean? They were judged, every man according to their works, to determine their degree of punishment in hell. You see, all who stand at this great white throne judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. Their personal rejection of Jesus Christ has already determined their destiny, but Christ is a righteous judge. And each unsaved person will receive what is due him. And no one will be able to argue with the judge or question his decision. What a day it's going to be. John's just pulling the curtain back, and he's letting us see into the great eternity. Can you see something of the setting described? Can you see something of the summons delivered? Can you see something of the secrets disclosed? Can you see something of the sentence determined? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you notice the surety of it? And they were judged. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There are no ifs, no buts. You'll not be able to bribe the judge on that day. You'll not be able to pay some fancy lawyer in Lisburn to try and get you off your coming to judgment. Did you notice the severity of it? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Not one shred of mercy. Not one shred of grace. Not one shred of forgiveness. You say that's severe. No, it's not. Dear unconverted friend, tonight you can have mercy. You can have pardon. Listen, you can have forgiveness for your past tonight. God can wipe the slate clean. And you can have a power for the present. And you can have a hope for the future. But listen, you can have it now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Did you know that in any trial there are three parts to it? One, the evidence is presented against you. If you go to the High Court in Belfast, here's how they'll handle you. One, the evidence will be presented against you. Two, you'll have your chance to make your defense. Three, the verdict of the court will be handed down. Let's do a wee bit of imagining tonight. Let's imagine that the end of time has come, that the saved are with the Lord Jesus in glory. And you're drawn from your grave, and you're standing before the Lord Jesus. And one by one the people are called, and finally, you dear friend, you're face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ you rejected, the Christ you spurned, the Christ you ignored. And the books are opened, and the list of your sins are read out, the deeds that you've done. And then all those impure thoughts, and then that disobedience to parents, and then the things that you didn't do, and then the things that you thought when you lusted in your heart. God wrote down adultery. When you had bitterness in your heart, God wrote down murder. Can you see the catalogue of your sins as God opens the record and you say, oh no, and God says, yes, this is the record. And then, dear friend, you'll have a chance to make your defense. Wonder what will you say? Will you say, Lord, I didn't know which church to join? Whether it was the Baptist or the Brethren or the Methodist or the Free Presbyterian. And the Lord will say, I didn't ask you to join a church. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But Lord, it was that hypocrite in the Spurn Baptist Church, and that's why I'm not saved. And the Lord will say to you, I didn't ask you to believe on a hypocrite. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Ah, you'll say, Lord, it was that fella Dennis Lyle. I went out on Sunday the 8th of February in the year 2004, and I went out to church, and I wanted to feel good, and he preached on judgment and hell and the lake of fire. And the Lord will say to you, I didn't ask you to believe on a preacher. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you said, Lord, but I didn't know whether I would keep it. And the Lord will say to you, I didn't ask you to believe on yourself. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And one by one your excuses will fail and you'll be speechless before God and the verdict of the court will be passed. Listen to it. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the sadness of it. Means, my friend, your name could have been written in the record. Means that God loves you. And on yonder blood-stained cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus died for your sins, became your substitute, actually met your judgment at the place called Calvary. It means your name could have been in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you turned your back on the Savior. Looking down on the defendant who stood before him, The old judge's eyes were glistened with emotion. There before him stood an old classmate. Bygone years. The jury had found him guilty of a bloody crime. And the judge on the bench began to address the prisoner. He says, "Do you remember, Ben, the last time we met?" Prisoner said, "Yes, your lordship, I do. I remember you bringing me to your quarters in the court. I remember you pleading with me to forsake the kind of life to which I was heading." "Ah," said the prisoner, if only I would have heeded your pleadings, I would not be here now." The judge says, "Ben, the jury has passed the verdict. You're guilty." He said, "Ben, this day breaks my heart. That day so many years ago, I wanted to be your savior. But today, I am your judge." Dear unconverted friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus wants to be your Savior. Tomorrow, He may be your judge. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him now? Let's bow together. Father, we thank Thee tonight for the solemnity of Thy word. And we pray, O God, for dear folk in the meeting tonight and they're not saved. And we pray, Lord, that by Your Spirit, through Your word, You would take a dealing with them. And Lord, tonight that You would bring them right through for the Savior. Father, remember the backslider tonight. Remember the man or the woman or the young person in the meeting tonight, and they used to walk close to Thee. And tonight they're following Thee afar off. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would work in their heart. And our Father, speak to us tonight, the people of God. Lord, would You make us men and women of prayer? Father, if we really believed this Revelation 20, we couldn't get the saints into the prayer meeting. Oh God, would You burden us in these days? And may we seek the lost for Jesus. For Christ's sake. Amen.